Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, hey, Marky, it might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Another day without Tausch, but a fun little surprise for you edition. The daily Wilde? Because it's not weekly Wilde, but the components are there edition. And the, would we give this guy as our first round pick, my guy, a fifth year option? I think we would. Edition. We'll tell you who it is momentarily. Of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. Although I hear that Wilde and Tausch doesn't stream on their video channel, which I thought was interesting.
What?
Yeah. We stream on ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison, not ESPN BD on their video, Daily Dodge TV. Only the damn sports show gets that treatment. We get ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, not Twitter today because of who our cousin Sub is and where he's located. We're working on that. We'll get that upgraded. Not Facebook because Jesse still hasn't fixed that. But on YouTube, ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channel, ESPN Madison YouTube channel. And, of course, everything you could possibly want, possibly need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, all-customizable ESPN Wisconsin app. Your state, your teams, your ESPN. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studio. And from a very much disclosed location, inside the Avenue in the 3rd Street Market Hall in downtown Milwaukee, in the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Studios. He is no Mr. Irrelevant to us. He anchored our coverage of the NFL draft from the Tundra Trio, and he hosts the incredibly popular Weekly Wilde. That's not you that makes it popular, it's me. He is Alex Strofe. Our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning, my guy. Yes, you are correct. You make it popular. It is named after you. It is about you. I just show up and ask questions, which, as you disclose my very undisclosed location, that's what we're going to do today. We're going to hear all from you about all things green and gold, which I'm very excited about.
So what, Jesse, Strofe, What exactly are we doing here? Because this is one of those scenarios where it can get sticky. Because
sure.
Strofe is a driver, generally speaking, of radio programs. I am a driver Tausch is a reactor. I get to react on a regular basis, obviously, across ESPN Wisconsin 7 days a week now, which I can tell you Paula doesn't want to hear me 7 days a week, but ESPN Wisconsin listeners get to hear me 7 days a week now because Saturday we've got the Saturday Scramble on ESPN Madison. Sunday we've got Sunday Karma, although I kept waiting for a phone call on Sunday that never came. But, you know, it could get a little bit like a kind of a wrestling for power of the show. I am happy.
I don't think that will be the case, Jason.
Because you're just going to take power?
No. It's your show. I'm here as a guest. Now, as you discuss openly the dynamic of what we are going to encounter over the course of the next 3 hours.
I am
hours,
here to take the power.
I think it's important to point out what Jesse sent us last night at 6:54 p.m., Jason. We got a text from Jesse Nelson that said, this is a bad idea edition, which means the guy that, A, made the personnel decision to have me on the show today, and B, the guy who makes the show plan isn't even bought into the show plan. So if this is a bad idea, I don't think it's my fault. I don't think it's your fault. I think it falls on none other than Jesse J. Nelson, correct?
First of all, I am never going to allow my guy, Jesse Nelson, to be thrown under the bus unnecessarily.
Yeah.
You being the co-host of today's program was not his idea.
Undoubtedly a bad idea.
So if it fails spectacularly, it's not on him. But if it's also one of the greatest Tausch-less shows in this program's nearly 9-year history, he also doesn't get credit for it.
Sure.
So if this turns out to be a great... And look, last time we tried something along these lines, it was not only an abject failure, but we had people that were really angry with us.
Yeah, it was kind of your fault.
Who, me?
Yeah. You're too long-winded.
We're going to take questions for Jason,
and then you answer three questions, and it takes 9 hours. That's what we did.
Now, see, this is where Jesse and I don't always agree, because I was prepared to say it was my fault because we didn't get to enough questions because of me.
So was I.
But you didn't need to say that. See, I would have been happy to do that. Then you don't have to look like the whiny little guy who blames other people. I was ready to take responsibility. It was not your fault. It was my fault. Last time we did this, I can't remember. It was Jesse and I. It was just the two of us. We didn't even bother to bring you in.
Mm.
So maybe with you in another cook in the kitchen, as it were, maybe the soup that Tausch makes out of a bag of soup from Quick Trip, followed by all the extra chicken he's got left from his chicken, will turn out to be a delicacy here today. But we promised we would do a Q&A, and then we didn't do enough Q's and didn't give enough A's. So today, we are going to do a better job. You have my solemn vow. In fact, I'll even hit the first break early.
Wow.
In an effort to stay on the clock and answer as many of your questions as possible. So what we're going to do today with Strofe here, because he does such a great job of asking me questions on Weekly Wildy, which has not been weekly for a couple months now, but it'll be back for training camp and the season, and we still do it. It's now nicknamed Occasional Wildy. But you do a great job asking questions, so you're going to get us warmed up. And then we're going to take your questions, your Packers questions, for me. And there's a variety of ways to get them in. Twitter, at Wildy and Tausch. Jesse still monitors the Facebook. I will open up my LinkedIn app. I don't use it very often other than to clean the red dot off. But
you accept my invite there yet?
Oh, I didn't know. You're kind of a mover and a shaker in the GKB world, so I never know what your title is and what you're up to. So I have not checked my invites lately. I will check.
My name doesn't change. That's still the same there.
Well, in fairness, cool. Your name actually does change because you don't go by your actual name. But that's another story for another day. But we will take your questions about the offensive line, about Jair Alexander, about the fifth-year option that was given yesterday to Devontae Wyatt, but we are still in a holding pattern today on Quay Walker. see if they get a long-term deal done, or if they don't give him the fifth-year option with the intention of signing him to an extension, or how that plays out today. But your questions, the Carbless Talk and text line, if you want to text them in, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Before we get to all the questions we're going to get to today, because I am motivated by the level of disappointment our fans felt last time, Strolf, do you have any questions before we get started?
I don't think I have any questions right now because you want to break early. And the questions I do have will naturally lead us to, and I do not mean this in an offensive way, a long-winded answer. And you want to break early. So I would like to honor that. Are you excited? It sounds like you are. That would be my only question.
I'm so excited, and I just can't hide it.
That's the second. That's the second song reference from what, the 70s that you've made today?
No, that's an 80s. That's from Beverly Hills Cop, I believe.
Okay, yeah, definitely a show I've seen or movie. Not sure which one.
Jason, you ever shave your head before?
I have not. In fact, great question. Did you know that a human head weighs 8 pounds? That's a Jerry Maguire reference. That's a 90s movie. But Jesse played Jonathan Lipnicki in one of our headlines last season when the movies were so popular. Yeah. No, I have never shaved my head. However, I wanted to when Paula was diagnosed with breast cancer and she lost all of her hair. She's doing awesome, by the way. The preventative medicine, knock on wood, continues to work. It has some side effects that aren't great, but I'm happy to have her healthy and happy, and my life would be completely meaningless without her. But she wouldn't let me shave my head, which really pissed me off. Like, I wanted to show my support. Hmm. So instead, being the kind of guy and kind of amazing husband I am, I said, all right, I'm going to grow my hair out then. Hmm. It was bad. I mean...
How long did it get?
It got pretty long. I will. I'll tell you what. I'll send pictures to Jesse that he can put on the video stream. Both of the one of Paula. I think she's okay with showing this one of her bald and me looking like Albert Einstein. And then another one, what I look like before I finally got my haircut in Verona. With my good friend Lacey, who has been doing that for 20 years now, and I love driving that far to get my hair cut.
Yeah, no disrespect to, what would you say, Lucy?
Lacey, yeah, we love Lacey. She's amazing.
I no disrespect to Lacey, but who in the world drives 2 hours for a haircut? I walk two blocks for a haircut.
Yeah, I think you know me well enough to know that I have lots of less than stellar qualities. I am not a perfect person. Yeah, no. Believe me. Come on now, don't act surprised. But one of my best qualities is I am fiercely loyal. Now, I'm not very forgiving, so if you cross me, I'm not as good at that as I. But if I,
I've heard you're a grudge holder. Heard that a time or two.
Yeah. But if you're my guy, or in Lacey's case, my gal, I am fiercely loyal. And so my haircut dollars and Paula's and the girls go to her because she's a good friend of ours and we care about her. And if I'm going to spend money, I want it to go to her. So that, you know, I get down to Madison not frequently enough to be. What was the phrase that Matt Hamilton was using to describe Matt LaFleur? Lined up. That's what they do with their hair. You line it up.
Yeah. No.
And there was a theory that he gets his hair cut every 3 to 4 days. That is not on my schedule. I definitely can't make it to Verona that frequently. But I am fiercely loyal, whether that's a good quality or sometimes it leads to ridiculous things like only getting my hair cut like 3 times a year. All right. I'm not wasting any more time on this. We got questions to get to. Jesse, I'm sure the Carbless Talk at text line 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776 is lighting up.
Nah, it's pretty quiet so far.
Okay. Well, maybe this will turn out to be a great idea. Good thing we have some other questions holstered in case this does not take off the way you had hoped. Do you have the capability within the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, all-customizable ESPN Wisconsin app. Are you able to submit questions within the app?
No, but you can find the YouTube stream in the app, which then would allow you to comment, like Tausch can't, in the YouTube comments, which in theory does allow you via the app to ask questions. So
interesting.
Yes, you can.
Okay. We might want to add the chat function. Tell Pratik to get on that. The chat function in the ESPN Wisconsin app. But otherwise, even without the chat function, it is outstanding. I'm using it all the time now, listening to all of our different shows, listening back. The Matt LaFleur interview from the Tundra Trio a couple of hours before the first round started on Thursday last week is in there. Everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned ESPN Wisconsin app. Live listening, show replays, exclusive content. It's all there on the new ESPN Wisconsin app. You know what we say? Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app is for Wisconsin sports fans, and it's their best way to stay in touch with their favorite ESPN Wisconsin shows and keep up with their favorite teams. So find the new ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores. Q&A day with Alex Strofe as our cousin sub of the day. You look so contemplative there. You look like you're really thinking.
I was thinking. I'm thinking about what we're getting to next, Jason. Also, you said you were going to break early. We are now 3 minutes late.
More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Let's make tonight the weekend.
Our cousin sub of the day, cousin subs, we believe in better. You can hear him on Mr. Irrelevant. When does that run again, Alex?
Monday, Wednesday, Friday, beginning at 12:30 Central. Myself, Josh DiMaggio, Hunter Vaughn, ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison on YouTube, as well as in the all-new, brand-new, customizable, is what you say, sleek ESPN Wisconsin app.
Spindly.
Yeah, now that's more of a word to describe me than the app.
And Christian Watson, although what does Tausch change it to? Changes it to something
wiry.
Else.
Wiry.
No, I said wiry. He said spindly. That's what it is. All right, we're already getting lots of questions, so I don't want to squander any more of anyone's precious time. I'm excited to get to as many as we can. Now, Strofe being the consummate consummate professional that he is. He is watching both the ESPN Milwaukee Carbless Talk and Text Line, which is 800-990-3776, and the ESPN Madison Carbless Talk and Text Line. List really is more in this instance.
Remember when Kevin Harlan was calling both games? He's watching both text lines.
That's pretty good. Good work, reference. Jonathan Lipnicki. 844-770-3776. So you're monitoring those. I've got the YouTube channels open and ready to go here. So I'm watching the comments there. Last housekeeping matter here. How would you like to do this? Because you seem to be a very eager beaver today with monitoring two text lines, my guy. So how would you like to handle this? I defer to you as the Q guy since I'm the A guy.
I would like to start with the news of the day, and then I want to get to some of the fan responses and questions on the text lines, the YouTube chat, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, etc., here coming up throughout the 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock hour. So let's start here, Jason, because yesterday, and I know you wrote this in channel3000.com, I know you said it at the beginning of the show, the Packers yesterday deciding to pick up the fifth-year option for defensive lineman Devontae Wyatt in 2026, that worth $12.9 million. But they have yet to make a decision on their other first-round pick from 2022, that's Quay Walker. In your perspective, what is the upside or downside to picking up Quay Walker's fifth-year option? What is taking so long?
So first, a quick history lesson. These became, the fifth-year option came along with the 2011 collective bargaining agreement. So the first Packers first-round pick that they had to face a decision on after his third season was Derek Sherrod. They did not pick it up. Nick Perry in 2012 didn't pick that up either. Now, he played out his fourth year, played really well, got himself an extension because he had such a great final season of his rookie deal, and then they paid him, and then he went back to being the guy he'd been the previous 3 years. So they didn't pick his up, didn't pick Dayton Jones's up. They picked up Ha-Ha Clinton Dix's, but then traded him before they got to it. They traded Demarius Randall before they had to pick it up. And then I don't remember if Cleveland picked it up or not, but let's all be honest, who cares? Right? I mean, one of the all-time, like him and Justin Harrell are running a race neck and neck at Titletown about at the same speed as you were doing your three cone drill to see who wins as the worst pick of first round pick of the Ted Thompson era. Kenny Clark was the first one to get it and then be in position to receive it. They obviously have extended him twice, their 2016 first-round pick. They did not have a first-rounder in 17. Jair got it in 18. Rashawn Gary and Darnell Savage got it from the 19 first round. Darnell Savage played it out, and then they let him go. Obviously, Rashawn Gary got an extension. Jordan Love did not get it. He got this half measure of a contract instead and then got his $55 million a year deal. And then Eric Stokes, this time last year, did not get it, played out his fourth and final season, and then joined the Las Vegas Raiders as a free agent on a very much one-year, $4 million prove-it deal. So now we arrive at this year. The price tag for defensive tackles, about what? $2+ million less, something. I'm not good at math right now. I think it's 14.7. Yeah,
way to defer to me, who's famously great at math. You're so right.
14.75 million for Quay, though, because the I have to fix our video. I look like I'm choppy there. Quay, because the edge rushers in 3-4 systems also factor in, his number is much higher. So they are reluctant to be on the hook for that. But Brian Gutekunst has said on multiple occasions he wants both of these guys back and both of them beyond 2026. So essentially what they are figuring out with Quay Walker, at least based on what Goody has said. Now, maybe he's not telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, right?
Yep. That's about what I was about to say. Yep.
But based on what he has said, they want him back, and they want to get either an extension done with him long-term, or if they have to do the fifth-year option, they will bite the bullet and do so. Or, and here are the other two options, you give it to him as a placeholder till you get the long-term deal done, or you don't do it. You decline it, like the Baltimore Ravens did yesterday with one of their two first-round picks from the 2022 draft. And I know Joshy had this guy's name for me this morning on Jen Gabe and Chewy. Lindenbaum. They declined his, but they said, at least Eric DaCosta, their GM, that they intend to sign him to an extension. So because his number was going to be through the roof ridiculous too. So again, until someone proves me otherwise, I'm going to take Goody at his word, which at times has gotten me in a little bit of trouble. But I'm going to believe him that he wants Quay Walker long-term. Linderbaum. Thank you, Joshy. Tyler Linderbaum. Isn't that the family name of the old guys that are lifting TVs in Seinfeld? You're too young. You're not going to get that reference. Never mind. I am curious what happens today because they have till 3 o'clock to decide. My gut tells me they're either going to just give him the fifth-year option as a placeholder or they're going to announce that they came to terms on an extension.
So you think he has done enough to get an extension, essentially, is what I wanted to boil this down to. Because, I mean, obviously, Quay Walker's a guy we have talked plenty about on all of our shows on ESPN Wisconsin the last several years. I don't want to call him inconsistent, but that seems to be the best word in my mind.
Up and
right
down,
now.
Very fair.
And, you know, to get the, whatever you said, just short of $15 million extension or a fifth-year option.
Fully guaranteed for 2026, remember, as well.
But does a long-term extension for a starting middle linebacker in the league seem like a smaller than $15 million a year price tag?
I think it does based on his inconsistency, right?
Sure.
I mean, look, I am partial to him because I believe, first of all, I'm fascinated by his personality because he is perhaps, and I'm always careful because of Romeo Doubs, he is perhaps the most self-loathing player I've ever covered. Like, he is never happy with himself. He is way too hard on himself. We had a great conversation last season after the 49ers game when he played really well. Like, give yourself some grace, man. And I'm no expert in mental health, but, like, if you're constantly beating yourself up, you can't operate that way. Hey, I want somebody who desperately wants to be good and is never going to be satisfied. That is a healthy mentality. I try to espouse that. The girls try to be that way. Always about improving, right? I can always do better. But when you have success, it's okay to say, hey, today was a good day. Now, it doesn't mean that tomorrow I'm going to be as good if I don't work hard. But the conversation I had with him, I will admit, I didn't know him very well. I mean, we would exchange pleasantries in the locker room, but I didn't know him as well as I knew Devontae or Randall Cobb or those types of guys. And this conversation changed things for me. Like, I wrote about it at the State Journal at the time. Like, I was like, dude, like, take it from an old guy, and I kind of went into parent mode a little bit. Like, feel good about what you've done. You've played really well.
Yeah.
And so my point is that I think, and not just because of that conversation, but because of how he played before he suffered the ankle injury in Seattle, I thought he turned a corner. And you know who else thought he turned a corner? Jeff Hafley.
Yep.
Jeff Hafley thinks him and Edger and Cooper can be their dynamic duo. So,
I'm not against that.
Right. So I am a believer that they want him long term. And unless Goody trades him later today or says we're going to decline the fifth year option and we've decided not to pursue an extension with him, I'm going to choose to believe that. Because if that's what Jeff Hafley thinks, nobody gives a you-know-what I think, although basing an entire three-hour show on what I think.
Thanks for promoting the show we're doing today. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. I knew what I was doing there. That was a joke. But the fact of the matter is the defensive coordinator does believe in him and does have some really interesting ideas cooked up for him and Edger and Cooper on the field at the same time. So I am going to choose to believe that if they do decline the option today, it is a short-term decision.
Gotcha.
That should lead to a long-term contract.
So some quick cleanup from John on the ESPN Madison YouTube chat and from Ryan on the Carbless Talk and Text line. You were looking for Mendelbaum from Seinfeld?
Mendelbaum, yes.
And real quick, my takeaway on the fifth-year option, and curious if you agree with me on this, for Devontae Wyatt is, I don't think inconsistent is the word here for Devontae Wyatt because he's just been so up and down. He's dealt with some injuries. He wasn't a full-time starter.
Mm-hmm.
They just need to see more out of him, I would guess, before they make a long-term decision on signing into a second contract. That was my takeaway from the fifth-year option. Is that fair?
Yeah. I mean, look, he didn't start a game last year. He didn't start.
Right.
Like, that's not, you know, it's kind of like the NBA. Who's your final five, not your starting five necessarily, right? But, you know, he got off to a great start. He had 3 sacks and 5 tackles for loss in the first 3 games.
Mm-hmm.
Then he jacked up his ankle against Minnesota. And as I used from my conversation with him at locker room cleanout, like, he never really recovered. And he said, you know, a big guy like me on a bad ankle, it has an impact. And it did. But you also have to figure out a way to play through it and still be productive. And I thought toward the end of the season, he was starting to recapture that. And then obviously then their season came to an end. So I agree with you. Like, you can say you wanted to sign him to a long-term deal. You want him beyond 26. But you want to see what he does in 25. And then you can always replace that 26 fifth-year option with a long-term deal with him.
I like it. All right, let's get to the fans coming up next after the break, Jason.
I know we've got a phone call from Howard, who is one of our he doesn't call often, but he always says really nice things about the show. So we're going to take him next after the break. So, Howard, don't go anywhere, please, if you can maintain your patience.
Do you really need the positive reinforcements this morning from Howard? Is that why you begged him to stay?
Like, we have other fans. You don't have to sound too desperate. Like,
No. I think I accurately depicted Howard. That's all. That's how he doesn't call often, but he always says lots of nice things, and that's certainly better than, you know, some of the things that occur in the YouTube chat.
It's a lot
quite
better,
frankly.
A lot better, yeah.
And if you want to experience better banking, there's only one place to go, and that, of course, is Associated Bank. They've got the best customer service in the industry. They've got the awards to prove it. And if you're a Packers fan, a Brewers fan, or a Badgers fan, you can also get Packers checking, Badgers checking, or Brewers checking to show your true fan colors. More importantly, though, you've got early pay where you have access to your direct deposit up to 2 days early. You've got credit monitoring to make sure your credit score is where you need it to be, and fraud protection. They were awesome when there was a fraud attempt on my account. It was so good. My guy Ben, everybody over there, so good at what they do. Check out associatedbank.com. They're my guys over there at Associated Bank. I'm going to keep going my guy.
Yeah,
on
so I think we need to address this because you've now said
sorry,
it.
Sorry, we got to get to break. We don't have time.
I don't know,
to
Jesse.
It.
What do you think? He said my guy 6, 7, 8 times today already?
If we address it, we're only going to get to 3 more questions the rest of the show. So we
all right, go to break. We'll address it later.
More with my guy, Alex Strolf, as our cousin's sub of the day. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is our crew.
Terrain is up, scrambling home. He's going to score and Yelich into third. Oh, the Brewers with the double steal.
You're listening to Madison's new home for Milwaukee Brewers baseball, 100.5 ESPN.
To the phones we go. 844-770-3776. Let's talk to my guy Howard in Sherman Park. Howard, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Oh, I'm staying out of the rain so far, so that's an accomplishment.
That is an accomplishment. I did not do that this morning.
Oh, boy. Well, first of all, thank you for the kind words. And you are the first human being in 71 years who has ever accused me of having patience.
Well, maybe I don't know you as well as I think, Howard.
I do not have a reputation for patience. My questions are kind of connected. Every year after the draft, there's two features that have always interested me, and I wonder what it says that I haven't heard about them this year. One is the Wisconsin Badgers that have been drafted, and two is the non-roster invitees to training camp.
So they've got their rookie camp. Those are both really good questions because I think the reason you haven't heard about them is because I haven't done a good job of addressing them on our show. And let's be honest, this was the latest that the first Badger came off the board since 2013, 14, it was a long time ago.
It's been a while. I thought it was 1990 was what I saw.
It's been a long time since they waited as long as they did. Jesse's guy, Hunter Wohler, the second most famous Muskego guy after Jesse, went in the 6th round, right? And he was not the first one off the board.
They were both 7th rounders. Jack Nelson was first. Yeah. Hunter Wohler was second. Yeah. They were both 7th rounders.
Does Graham Mertz count?
Chimray Dike was the first player off in round 4.
Does Chimray Dike count? Yeah.
Graham Mertz ruining my John Gutekunst Brian Gutekunst, Graham Mertz, and his dad's story that I was looking forward to telling when he was going to sign as an undrafted free agent. But that did not occur, no.
Real quick, I think it's interesting because maybe I can connect the dots here. So Isaiah Simmons, who the Packers just signed, now he was a number 8 overall pick, not a 7th round pick like Hunter Waller was. But he's kind of a safety linebacker hybrid that will mm-hmm. that will be added to the Packers defense. And I've seen some texts roll in on his name that maybe we'll get to a bit later. Hunter Waller drafted as a linebacker by the Colts. Did anybody see that?
I did not see that.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. I haven't read into it.
So Colts GM Chris Ballard actually joined the huddle with Barry Alvarez earlier this week on ESPN Madison.
He played for Barry.
Yes, Alex Gravatt and Derek Engler, Tarek Salah, and of course Barry Alvarez. And Chris Ballard talked about Hunter Waller being drafted as a linebacker. They're going to use him in kind of a dime package is the plan. And they envisioned him being kind of a versatile role on defense is what he shared during that conversation.
Now, for Howard's other question, and I don't know if Howard's still there, but thanks for the call, Howard.
He is.
We appreciate
he's still
it.
Here. You want to talk to him again?
No, I just want to go through the list for his benefit. Two running backs, Amar Johnson from South Dakota State and Jaylen White from Georgia Southern. Wide receiver Julian Fleming from Penn State. Northern Illinois guard J.J. Lippe. Minnesota guard Tyler Cooper. Rice tackle Brant Banks, another Georgia defensive lineman. So they drafted one, and now they've got one as an undrafted free agent, Nazir Stackhouse. So a lot of Georgia Bulldogs.
That's a tough name.
Roster.
I'm just throwing that out there. That is a tough name.
Linebacker from Kentucky, Jamon Dumas Johnson. They have a Kazir Brown from Florida Atlantic, so they've got a Nazir and a Kazir. He's a corner from FAU. Tyron Herring, a corner from Delaware, and UNLV safety Jonathan Baldwin. Those are your undrafted free agent signees. Packers have not officially announced those yet, however, but that is from Pro Football Focus. Thanks for the call, Howard. We appreciate it, and thank you for your patience, even if that's out of character.
When is the rookie camp? Is that this week or next?
Yeah,
that,
no,
well,
it's,
imagine
today,
next.
It's they're arriving today. We have not gotten our schedule for availability yet, but it is tomorrow and Saturday.
Okay, and you're able to attend those, or is it just media?
Well, I'm not eligible to participate because I'm no longer a rookie, but yes, I believe we get one practice tomorrow.
First off, that's also not true. I know you're over 30 and Goody would never invite you. You can go ahead and
also
cue that
true.
Laugh track again. But you have never played in the NFL, so you are technically still a rookie.
I think I'd be a first-year player because my draft window went through.
Sure.
And I wasn't drafted, but I wouldn't be a rookie anymore. I'd just be considered a first-year player. I do not have any accrued seasons.
Sure. Okay. Well,
just to clarify.
You're likely more athletic than me, so you at least do have that going for
That's
you.
A pretty low bar.
Oh, I know. That's why I said it.
All right. Did you have a couple of quick questions you wanted to do before we roll on?
Yeah. I just want to address this one because I know a lot of people are interested
the
cornerback room, and Jair really is kind of the elephant in the room recently. But this question, not about Jair. It is about the cornerback room if Jair is not on the team. Matt and Superior texts in, any rumor / chance Rasul Douglas would come back to Green Bay? I know he's over 30, but...
Yeah, I again...
Incredibly unlikely, I would imagine, right?
I would love that. He won the Tom Mulhern Award a couple years ago.
Oh, so he's your guy.
He's one of my guys. Just for those of you who are curious, Strolf referred to me as my guy for him, to me. Which I feel like the term, he's my guy, you say to other people. You don't say, hey, my guy, how you doing today? You say, oh, Strolf is my guy, or Jesse's my guy, or hey, you better get my guy over here because he's getting himself in some trouble.
Isn't that what Jordan Love said about Jair Alexander like a week or two ago?
He's my guy?
He's
my
guy.
Right.
I haven't talked to him all offseason, but he's my guy. Yeah. Yeah, I got to call him, find out what's going on.
I think this is a generational gap, though. Which generation do you fall into?
Yeah. I think I am I am barely Gen X.
Okay.
I'm not a boomer. I know
you're
that.
Gen X. I am Gen Z. Jesse is a millennial.
Mm-hmm.
I
Jesse's a lot of things.
So I am obviously the youngest guy on the crew. But I would say I often refer to people as my guy. How you doing, my guy? Good to see you. Appreciate you, my guy, right? Like, I just feel like that rolls off the tongue, and you made fun of me. But now you have been using it nonstop. You tweeted an article of yours from channel3000.com the other day, and the first two words in your tweet, I think unironically, were my guy.
I was not inadvertent. So we will roll on with my guy, Alex Strolf, as our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. Jesse, do you want to take a break from questions to do trivia?
No, we got to keep
rolling. Or do you want to do trivia later?
Yeah, we got to keep doing questions. If we get away from the questions, then we're going to, we did three, and then the thing's going to happen.
Oh, it's a good point. It's a good point by you.
Keep doing the questions.
Just keep rolling.
More of your questions on a Q&A day with Alex Strolf, my guy, as our cousin sub of the day. It's Wilde and Tausch.
We're on the Packers.
Dude, he was honest. He had options.
Because we're on Wisconsin sports.
He had other players he liked. He had multiple trade offers, and yet he chose Matthew Golden.
Nobody covers the green and gold like 100.5 ESPN.
When you tell me I'm a wreck, you say that I'm a mess. How could you expect anything less?
Continuing with your questions, again, YouTube comments, Twitter, Facebook, I'm logging into LinkedIn right now, the Milwaukee Carbless Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776, the Madison Carbless Talk and Text Line, 844-770-3776. Strolf, what's next?
Yeah, I think we're going to spend at least two segments on what is probably the sexiest, most interesting position group for the Packers in 2025 following the first-round drafting of Matthew Golden and the third-round drafting of Savion Williams, of course, the wide receiver room. Now, I think this is probably the question I've seen the most. I see this one from Josh in Heartland. I saw a couple YouTube comments on there on this one, so apologies for not saying everybody's name. But it's essentially this, Jason, and I think it's a fascinating question. Who is more likely to be a Packer, not this upcoming season, but the following season, Romeo Doubs or Christian Watson? Obviously a part of that same draft class. And Romeo Doubs dealt with some issues last year, didn't show up to work at one point. Christian Watson obviously tore his ACL at the end of the regular season and will miss a large chunk of this upcoming season. So in your mind, as your video screen goes away from us on YouTube, who is more likely to be a Packer in 2026, Jason? Romeo Doubs or Christian Watson?
Christian Watson. And here's why. I am, and again, Goody has not said this to me, so this is just my educated opinion. I think that it's hard for them to trust that he is going to be trustworthy after how things played out last year when he was unhappy. I think when you don't show up for work, people get concerned. And I think that that's a violation of trust that I don't know if they will be willing to. And look, it's not that they don't trust him to be on their team still, right? I mean, they didn't cut him. They didn't get rid of him.
Right.
But do you trust him enough to pay him a significant amount of money with an extension and a bunch of guaranteed money therein? My gut tells me no. My gut tells me that they're going to say, look, man, we don't know what the future holds, but you put your head down, work your tail off, be as productive as humanly possible, and then we'll see. You know, maybe he has this great season and they're like, you know what? He proved to us that he's matured and he's better than that now.
Mm-hmm.
And then they extend him. I think he's probably going to be more likely to have a productive season and then get paid by someone else. Now, the Christian Watson scenario is fascinating to me because the head coach loves Christian Watson. I mean, loves Christian Watson. And I would think that the best case scenario for the Packers would be for him to come back in mid-November from the ACL, be okay. Have some good moments. Show his speed, even if it's not quite the same speed because he's just coming off the ACL. But show that he's still got it. Have some production, but not too much production where another team says, hey, we know he came off the ACL, but we saw what he did in late November and December and early January, and they're willing to pay him. Because I think the Packers' dream scenario would be he shows us enough that we still want him because the coach loves him and we think we don't have anyone like him, even with Matthew Golden being as fast. He's not as big. And they can get him on a one-year, not prove-it deal, because it would be for more money than just, oh, prove it to us that you deserve a contract, but still with prove-it kind of overtones. So I think that's the best-case scenario. And then if he goes out in 26 and is star-spangled awesome and him and Golden become, you know, Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, which, again, who knows what the future holds. You got Jaden Reed in the mix. You've got Dontavian Wicks in the mix. But if he comes out and plays like the guy that they envisioned him when they drafted him at the top of the second round, and you got those two guys together, I would argue that you're probably happy to pay him because he's played that well that he's forced you to pay him.
So if I rephrase the question and I say, what's the most likely outcome in 2026? Romeo Doubs on the roster, Christian Watson on the roster, or neither on the roster? Is your answer still Christian Watson?
I fear that neither.
I that's where I lean. I think neither is probably the answer, just given the cards they played at the draft, right? Drafting two wide receivers on rookie deals, including a first-round wide receiver, and we talked about the fifth-year option earlier. You've likely got 5 years of Matthew Golden and several of Savion Williams. You obviously still have Jaden Reed for a couple more years and Dontavian Wicks for a couple more years. I wouldn't be shocked if after 2025, there's a little bit of an overhaul, a changing of the guard, if you will, at the wide receiver position. Now, that's dependent on the big question that we had entering last year, right? Will one of these receivers take a big step? And the answer we saw in 2024 was no, right? Jaden Reed was good, and then I think you've compared him to a milk carton, or said he was on the side of a milk carton the second half of the season.
That's an old person reference, too, when missing kids, a milk carton.
That's a reference I do understand, though many of yours go over my head. I would not be shocked if this is the final season for both Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs in green and gold, and then all of a sudden you're four, rather than the four we've been used to the last few years, is the two rookies and Reed and Wicks.
Yeah, I look, you very well could be right. That's probably the most likely scenario. I also would say this. Let's slow our roll a little bit. Look, Matthew Golden is the first-round pick, okay? He deserves all the hype, right? He's fast. He came up huge in huge games for Texas, right? SEC title game, their first playoff game. But Savion Williams, like, let's not anoint him as Deebo Samuel 2.0 just yet. Like, I feel like if there's one draft pick that people are super excited about that isn't Matthew Golden, it has been him. And look, I've contributed to that, right? Like, LaFleur's up there talking about all the different ways they can use him. And guys that are versatile like that are fascinating. And for coaches, they are excited. They want to get in the lab, as they say, and start conjuring up different ways to use him. So, yeah, he can be a wildcat quarterback. He can line up in the backfield and take handoffs. He can run jet sweeps and end arounds. He can be a traditional receiver. He's still a third-round pick, right? And fair or not, they've taken third-round picks like James Jones, who was outstanding. And they took third-round picks like Amari Rodgers. So, you know, there's no guarantee just because he's got a diverse skill set that he's going to be such a stud that you're like, yeah, we're fine with losing both Watson and Doubs in free agency. Right?
Of course, there's no guarantees. And obviously, under Brian Gutekunst, his first-round picks have, for the most part, not been instant contributors, right? I think Jair is an example of an instant contributor in 2018. Eric Stokes in his rookie year was an instant contributor. That was a guy who was on the field and played arguably his best year in green and gold his rookie year. outside of that, you know, Gary chipped in, Walker chipped in their rookie years, but Love was
Savage
never active.
Savage started all the games as a rookie, or most of the games, but he didn't, I mean, you know, he wasn't great.
No, he was not. But for example, right, Jordan Love was never active in his rookie year, and that's an obscure one because he was a quarterback when you had the literal MVP on your roster that year at the same position. But you look at Lucas Van Ness. I mean, he wasn't terrific his rookie year. Devontae Wyatt, who we talked about earlier, was in a rotation. He played a little bit his rookie year, but wasn't a huge contributor. Last year, yeah, Jordan
Kenny
Morgan
Clark
didn't
is
play
a really
lot.
Good player, and Kenny Clark did not contribute a lot as a rookie either.
Yeah. So under, but especially under Goody, Jason, these first round picks haven't always been instant contributors. Now, with the excitement and the buzz of the draft being in Green Bay, and the excitement and the buzz of the Packers taking a wide receiver in the first round for the first time since 2002, and they did it with Javon Walker, I think fans like myself get very excited because I recognize the need, right? We watched last season. We watched them lose to the Eagles, and as you've talked about many times on the show, you steal things from the team that wins the Super Bowl, or in this case, the team that knocked you out of the playoffs. Wide receiver is a position of strength for the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Packers viewed what happened in 2024 and said, well, that just wasn't good enough for our quarterback who we're paying $55 million a year to. So they tried to upgrade. They showed some urgency in the first 2 days of the draft at that position. So as fans, naturally, we're going to say, all right, you know, we've got a stacked room. This is the competition to watch come training camp because you've got six legitimate guys. Well, to start the season, five legitimate guys with Watson recovering from the ACL that can contribute big numbers at that position. Is that a guarantee, though, for Matthew Golden? Is that a guarantee, though, for Savion Williams? The answer is a flat-out no. We can hope, but as we know, hope is not a strategy. So we will see how it plays out. But when it comes to Golden specifically, who we'll talk more about coming up, his speed is so intriguing, and what component that can bring to an offense with a creative offensive mind calling the plays, with Jaden Reed, who can do a lot of things well, with Matthew Golden with that great speed, with the tight ends, who I know everybody's excited about. Savion Williams is a unique piece, and I'm super excited to see how Matt LaFleur can involve him in the offense. It just feels like that is a position where somebody might stick out from the rest of the group finally this year because you've added some extra investment this year entering 2025 more so than you did last year in 2024.
We will get to the 10 o'clock hour, which is starting late only because of that lengthy soliloquy from my guy, Alex Stroff. More of your questions via the Carbless Talk and text lines, plural. Also, the YouTube comments. Andy C. has left the YouTube stream because you're on. So I
saw
don't
that.
Know what you ever did to
Thanks,
him.
Andy.
Andy was irritated about a lot today. Yeah. Andy needs to take a nap.
He also doesn't like the way Jesse posts the podcasts, so there's some grousing.
Andy needs to go to Steinhoffel's, buy himself a new mattress, get a good night's sleep, and try again later.
I wasn't going to tell everyone about Steinhoffel's till later, but if you're telling me you'd like me to tell everyone about them now, I'm certainly willing to do that, Jesse. Is that a not-so-subtle suggestion from you?
No, it was just a suggestion for Andy. You do whatever you want to do.
Okay. More Wilde and Tausch. The 10 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes for everyone but Andy, who doesn't like Stroff. So stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.